This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Inshallah ta'ala, tonight before we get started with our halaqa, with our lecture on Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl, we have a brother who's going to be embracing Islam with us. So I'd like to welcome Carson, if you can come up. You didn't change your mind, did you? All right, second shot. Okay, so I'm going to have you repeat after me. Say, Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
An.
La.
La.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illa.
Illa.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa.
Wa.
Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Rasul.
Rasul.
Allah.
Allah.
That was perfect. All right, in English now. I bear witness
that there is no God,
that there is no God
worthy of worship
or unconditional
obedience
except
Allah
and that Muhammad
is his final messenger.
Inshallah.
Takbir. Congratulations. We want to welcome you to the community. Welcome to Islam and welcome to the Valley Ranch Islamic Center. So this is your community from now on, and after I finish the lecture, if you're still around, they're all going to hug you. So in the meantime, you're welcome to have a seat. And everyone, please do welcome your brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, keep you firm and steadfast, and protect you, and allow this journey of yours to be blessed all the way through. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, tonight, dear brothers and sisters, we're going to be continuing with the first, and we're going to be speaking about the son of the Pharaoh of this ummah. And it's very interesting when you have someone who has such a prominent position in Islam as being the Fir'aun of this ummah. And it shows you what the Prophet ﷺ said, that there are multiple pharaohs throughout history, right? You have the Pharaoh that we know, you have the Fir'aun, and then we have our Fir'aun as an ummah of Muhammad ﷺ as a people. And that, of course, was Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham. And we're going to be talking about his son, Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But it's important to note that as time goes on, as generations go on, you always have pharaohs and you always have tyrants, and then you have heroes that rise up against those tyrants, and you have people that come from the households of those tyrants that turn out to be of the greatest heroes and of those who carry and possess some of the greatest virtues in Islam. And tonight, as we talk about Ikrama radiallahu anhu, it's personally, I'm going to say personally, one of my favorite stories from the companions, and there are many of them that are like my favorite. But I'll just tell you that if none of you name your kids Ikrama after this, then I consider that I failed in properly conveying the virtue of this man, Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Many of you hear the name Ikrama in the books of tafsir, and this is not the same Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the books of tafsir. This is one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who comes literally from the worst man in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ultimate villain in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he talks about Khalid radiallahu anhu ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Al-Walid, a horrible human being. Khalid radiallahu anhu goes on to become Saifullah, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about Amr radiallahu anhu ibn al-As. Al-As, such a horrible person that we could have spent a whole lecture just on the verses of Quran about him. But tonight we talk about Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl. And I literally, I have to say this, if I was to talk about what ayat, what verses in the Quran speak about the evil of Abu Jahl, it literally would take me an hour. Why? Because Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma identifies over 80 verses in the Quran that were revealed in response to the evil and the tyranny of this particular man. It's enough to say that in Surah Al-Alaq, the first verse is revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْرَأْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Read in the name of your Lord who creates. That the second half of that surah, from verse 9 onwards, is about Abu Jahl. Actually speaks to the Pharaoh of this ummah. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Do you see the one who forbids righteousness,
who stomps on the necks of the believers, who breaks people's collarbones, who murders people in the vicinity of the sacred Kaaba, who violates every single established norm prior to Islam and after Islam, his cultural and tribal norms, to oppress and to mutilate and to brutalize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. Do you see this person? This person who forbids righteousness, this person who denies, who lies. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't he know that Allah sees him? كَلَّا لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is a person that's going to be seized by the forelock, a man who will pay for his sins because of the horrors that he inflicted on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the most vulnerable of the companions. This was the man who took out the slaves who became Muslim in Mecca and created a torture camp for the public to see, and who took a spear and stuck it through Sumayya radiallahu anha, the Abyssinian woman, to make an example out of her, that tortured the slaves in public, that called for people to humiliate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every way, that incited in every way. The man who made life unbearable for Muslims in Mecca, the man who actually started the boycott against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that led to the death of Khadija radiallahu anha, his wife and his uncle Abu Talib, the man who plotted the assassination of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Hijrah, who came up with the master plan, you know, on how to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a brutal tyrant, and I want you to imagine that in the background of this brutal tyrant, who is the chief of Banu Makhzum, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Pharaoh of this ummah, is his son Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah says, كان من رؤوس الجاهلية كأبيه. He was from the heads of the ignorant ones, just like his father. And he was the successor of his father. So here's the scene. I want you to play all of those scenes of Abu Jahl oppressing the Prophet ﷺ, spitting, torturing, killing. And I want you to imagine Ikrama by his side, assisting him in every way, watching in every way, because he was deemed the successor of Abu Jahl. Meaning, Abu Jahl is the head of Banu Makhzum, the rival tribe that wants to kill the Prophet ﷺ simply because he belongs to Banu Hashim. Ikrama is the son that is being groomed to be the successor, the chief of Banu Makhzum. So when Abu Jahl presumably takes power in Mecca, his son Ikrama is the crown prince. All right? Just to give you the visual, there's also something else to keep in mind here. The Prophet ﷺ saw something even in the Pharaoh of this ummah. What did the Prophet ﷺ see in Abu Jahl? What did he see in him? Anyone tell me? No, he saw positive things in him too. He saw his potential to be a leader. Prophet ﷺ made dua, O Allah, give victory to Islam, to the more beloved of the two Umars to you, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, or Amr ibn Hisham, who is Abu Jahl. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ recognized that this man is a leader. If he changes his heart, and if he takes that strength, and he puts it to good use, he could be one of the greatest leaders of the Muslims. Now here's the plot twist. What the Prophet ﷺ saw in him, if he would become Muslim, would become the reality of Ikrama almost 2 decades later. Because Ikrama had the qualities of his father. He was big, he was strong, he was wise. Abu Jahl's nickname was actually Abul Hakam, the father of wisdom. But he became the father of ignorance because of his blind rage towards the truth. He was eloquent. When you saw Ikrama, you saw his father. And subhanAllah, it's really interesting because Umar and Abu Jahl, right, are pretty much the same prototype before Islam filters them out. Umar had a son that was a copy of him, Abdullah ibn Umar. Abu Jahl had a son that was a copy of him, Ikrama, right? And out of these four, the only one that's going to die in ignorance is going to be the father of ignorance, who was given chance after chance. And the Prophet ﷺ was so patient with him for over a decade, calling him to Islam, calling him to stop his transgressions against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here is Ikrama growing up in this environment with his father, the Pharaoh. Now, I'm going to put up this chart really quick, and this is going to be one of those things that the students who want to actually go back and look at the family tree, inshallah ta'ala, can do so and appreciate Midnight Tide. Can we put it up? Okay. I wanted to just put together a little chart that shows you the connection between Ikramah and Khalid. So there are other kids that are involved here, but at least by looking at this, you can visualize the relationship between Ikramah and Khalid, Ikramah's wife, and Al-Harith ibn Hisham. So if you look at the top there, you'll see Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira and Hisham ibn al-Mughira, right? So the two elders that make up Banu Makhzum. Their children, on one side, you see Khalid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his sister, Fatima bint al-Walid, okay? On the other side, from the children of Hisham ibn al-Mughira, there are other kids and we've spoken about them, you see Amr ibn Hisham, who is Abu Jahl, and Al-Harith ibn Hisham, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Al-Harith ibn Hisham is going to show up in the story of Ikramah at the very end. So he's Ikramah's uncle, Abu Jahl's brother. Al-Harith was one of the main enemies of the Prophet ﷺ as well. He fought the Prophet ﷺ all the way until Fatih Mecca, and then he became a Muslim on the day of the opening of Mecca as well. So he fought the Prophet ﷺ for 20 years, along with Abu Jahl. So Ikramah is the son of Abu Jahl, obviously, and he's married to a woman named Hakim bint al-Harith, who is both, as you can see, the daughter of Al-Harith ibn Hisham, and the daughter of Fatima bint al-Walid. So Al-Harith ibn Hisham marries Fatima bint al-Walid. You know what you get out of this? It's funny, because like my brother once made this comment about the Arab families. A lot of them are not family trees, they're family spirals. You know? So Banu Makhzum was marrying inside the tribe, right? Maintaining the lineage of Banu Makhzum inside the tribe. So Khalid is Ikramah's cousin, he's Ikramah's cousin, and Ikramah is married to his cousin, Hakim. So there's a lot of relationship between Ikramah and Khalid, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as well as his wife, Hakim. And there's a lot of enmity towards the Prophet ﷺ within this family. And so this is a whole family that's bent on defeating Islam, on fighting the Prophet ﷺ and making sure they eliminate Islam in every single way. So let's go on, inshallah ta'ala, now to where this all takes a turn. Ikramah himself inherits the hatred of the Prophet ﷺ. He hates him because his father hates him, right? And for all of those years, the transgression is all coming from his father towards the Prophet ﷺ and the weak Muslims, and Ikramah is assisting in that. And even other non-Muslim leaders would tell Abu Jahl, calm down, you are way too much. You're hurting, you're violating all of our standards, you're giving us a bad name, your torture is going too far. This rage, however, in Ikramah's life towards the Prophet ﷺ is going to take a turn in the Battle of Badr in particular. Battle of Badr, obviously, Quraysh surrounds the Muslims. They think that they're going to wipe them out. They outnumber them in every way. They're already celebrating. Abu Jahl is leading the army of Quraysh against the Muslims. And I'll give you the story, first and foremost, from Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu's perspective. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, I was standing on the side of the Muslims, obviously, on the day of Badr. And I looked to my right and to my left, and I had these two teenagers. And I looked at them and I was like, I wish I had like some serious men that were next to me. Like, why am I between these two teenagers? So he said, Tamannaytu an akuna bayna adla' minhuma. He's like, I gotta admit, I was hoping that I'd be between like two serious warriors. Like, why am I between these two kids? So he says, فَغَمَزَنِي أَحَدُهُمَا. So one of them tapped my shoulder. So I looked at him and I said, what is it? He said, يَا عَمْ. He said, uncle, هَلْ تَعْرِفُ أَبَا جَهَلْ. Which one of those is Abu Jahl? Can you imagine it? Like a teenager like taps him on, he's like, which one of those is Abu Jahl? So I told him, مَا حَاجَتُكَ إِلَيْهِ يَا ابْنَ أَخِي. What do you want with Abu Jahl? Like, what are you going to do to Abu Jahl? Realize Abu Jahl is the size of Umar. He's a mountain of a man. What are you going to do to Abu Jahl? He said, أُخْبِرْتُ أَنَّهُ يَسُبُّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He's a Madani kid. He's never met Abu Jahl in Mecca. He said, I heard that he used to abuse the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I'm going to find him. And he said, when I meet him, one of us is going to survive that meeting, but not both of us. The other kid taps his shoulder and says, which one is he? Abdurrahman ibn Auf points him out. So these two kids are known as the two Mu'ads. Mu'ad ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh and Mu'ad ibn Afra. two young Mu'adhs, may Allah be pleased with them both, two young teenagers that were there in the battlefield to defend the Prophet ﷺ on that momentous occasion. And Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf says that in the Battle of Badr, they both struck Abu Jahl from both sides. Like they came at him from both sides, but he was so big that he fell to the ground, and even though they both struck him clean hits, he was still alive. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was physically, right, the shortest of the companions, he climbs up onto Abu Jahl and looks him in the eye. Realized that Abu Jahl one day almost killed Ibn Mas'ud for just reading Quran around the Kaaba. He stepped on his collarbone and broke it. Beat him unconscious. And now Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu stands up on him and looks down at Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl looks at him and says, لَقَدْ ارْتَقَيْتَ مُرْتَقًا صَعْبًا يَا رَوَيْعِ الْغَنَمِ. You have climbed a difficult climb, O shepherd of sheep. You little shepherd, what are you doing? Who do you think you are to climb on top of me? And he asked Ibn Mas'ud, لِمَنْ الْغَلَبَ. By the way, who's winning the battle? You know, I'm not able to fight anymore, but I want to know who's winning the battle. And he said, الْغَلَبَةُ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. Victory is to Allah and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O enemy of Allah. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu finishes him, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to the Pharaoh of this ummah, who died like the Pharaoh of Moses, right? In a humiliated way. And one of the Sahaba even saw him being dragged into the earth as if it was something angelic, like Moses, like Musa alayhi wa sallam drowned the Pharaoh of his day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out to him, and he said, هَلْ وَجَدْتُ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّ فَإِنِّي قَدْ وَجَدْتُ مَا وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي حَقَّ. Have you found the promise of your Lord to be true? For I have found the promise of my Lord to be true. They said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, did they hear you? And the Prophet ﷺ says, مَا أَنْتُمْ بِأَسْمَعَ لِمَا أَقُولُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ الْيَوْمْ لَا يُجِيبُونَ. Prophet ﷺ said, they can hear just as well as you can hear, but today they're unable to say anything. All those days of taunting and cursing and beating and torturing, and now the Pharaoh dies a miserable fate. Fir'aun of this ummah dies a miserable fate. Now Ikramah, he inherited hatred. When he sees his father on the battlefield, he shouts and he starts shouting rage at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he wants to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for personal reasons. Before, it was the hatred of Islam that he had because his father was the Pharaoh. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is Qatilu Abi. He's the one who killed my father. And his rage takes a different turn. Ikramah talks about that. Like, this is something that consumes him at this point. He sees the Prophet ﷺ in a different light. And so comes the Battle of Uhud. Now comes the Battle of Uhud. Here's how it looks. Abu Sufyan is commanding the middle. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu is on the left. He has 700 troops. Ikramah radiallahu anhu is on the right. He has 700 troops. And so this is the command of Quraysh this day. And Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of course, orchestrated the victory on Uhud for the other side and killed all the archers of the Muslims as well. Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those who fought fiercely in the Battle of Uhud against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His wife, Hakim, was beating the war drums. So she was one of those that was singing lyrics of death against the Muslims, beating the war drums. I mean, this is a family that hates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam severely. So Uhud finishes. Khandaq was meant to be a genocide of the Muslims, right? They tried to surround Medina from every direction and wipe them out once and for all. Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not satisfied after Uhud because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still alive. And he said, I will not live if the Prophet ﷺ is living. Muhammad needs to die because he killed my father. That's his mindset. Now he, while this is happening, is the chief of Banu Makhzum. So he actually assumes Abu Jahl's position in society. So in Meccan society, he's really at the top of the ladder now. Right? He's really at the top of the ladder alongside Abu Sufyan and Amr ibn As and sort of the next generation of leaders now. And then Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Ikramah radiallahu anhu in Mecca and tells him that he's thinking about converting to Islam. Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu blows up at him. Now remember the family chart? He's Khalid's best friend. He's Khalid's cousin And he's married to Khalid's niece. So Ikrama and Khalid are like this. So when Khalid tells him, I'm thinking about embracing Islam, Ikrama says, you want me to embrace the religion of the man who killed my father? He can only see the Prophet ﷺ in that light. You want me to embrace the religion of the man who killed my father? And Ikrama was the one who called the leaders of Quraysh against Khalid initially, but then stopped the scuffle because it was about to become a bloodbath in Mecca. But he's the one who initially alerted the leaders of Quraysh against Khalid when Khalid went out to become Muslim. Then comes the day of Fatih Mecca. And when the Prophet ﷺ returns to Mecca, we know that the Prophet ﷺ did not want bloodshed on that day. Right? The Prophet ﷺ did not want bloodshed on that day. This was going to be a legacy of forgiveness. Forgiveness for the same people who killed the family of the Prophet ﷺ, who killed many of the Muslims, who drove him out of his land. The Prophet ﷺ comes in to Mecca with the same spirit of Yusuf alayhi salam, of the Prophet Joseph, la tathrib alaykum al-yawm, and he even repeats his message, there is no blame upon you today. The Prophet ﷺ forgives all of those who killed his family members, all of those who attempted to kill him, and gives a general amnesty to Mecca. But as they're coming in, if you remember from the lecture of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ikrama and Safwan ibn Umayyah are still fighting. So they attack the flank of Khalid. And Khalid is able to ward off their attack, now on the side of the Muslims. And he kills 12 men, warding off the attack. And Ikrama and Safwan ibn Umayyah flee the scene. So I want you to think about how bad Ikrama is. The Prophet ﷺ has forgiven Mecca, right? The Prophet ﷺ named Ikrama. He said that even if you find him clinging to the Kaaba under the cloth of the Kaaba, take him out. That's how bad he is. This man is plotting against the Prophet ﷺ to the very last moment. So he's forgiving Mecca. He's even forgiving Abu Sufyan. But Ikrama is still attacking, still abrasive towards the Prophet ﷺ. He's blinded by his rage. But after Khalid, now on the side of the Muslims, warded off the attack, Ikrama and Safwan fled to Yemen. And this is where the story of Ikrama in Islam truly begins. The Prophet ﷺ enters Mecca and he forgives everyone. He offers a general amnesty to Mecca. And this shocks the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ. Because by every single standard, he had the right to take revenge on those who harmed him. Any law of war, he had the right ﷺ to kill the people who killed multiple people, who crucified Muslims, who carried out all sorts of massacres. But the Prophet ﷺ was bringing hearts together. He announces the general amnesty, and this softens the hearts of many of the former enemies of the Prophet ﷺ, like, wow, he really is different. He really is different. Like, we did all this to him. If we were in his shoes, we know what we would do to ourselves. And so some of the most vile enemies of the Prophet ﷺ enter in upon him to personally seek his forgiveness. And the Prophet ﷺ forgives them. Amongst them, Hakim, who was beating the war drums and chanting lyrics of death, you know, inciting Quraysh to attack the Muslims. And Ikrama has now fled to Yemen, and they don't have a cell phone, right? So you can't call up Ikrama. She has no idea. She knows her husband fled to Yemen, but she's not in touch with him anymore. But she enters upon the Prophet ﷺ, and she introduces herself, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm coming to you as a believer, as a Muslimah, and someone who wholeheartedly affirms your message at this point. And she doesn't just ask forgiveness for what she did. She says, O Messenger of Allah, I've heard that you basically have commanded that my husband Ikrama, my husband is Ikrama ibn Abi Jahl, and I've heard that you commanded that he be taken out even if he's holding on to the cloth of the Kaaba. O Messenger of Allah, I'm asking you to forgive him and to grant him safety. And I'll bring him back to you. And I'll make sure that he doesn't harm you. What do you think the Prophet ﷺ says? Without any hesitation, the Prophet ﷺ says he's safe. He has amnesty. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ immediately grants him amnesty and forgives him. So now, Hakim, she has to go find him wherever he's fled and tell him that the Prophet ﷺ has forgiven you. You're okay now, come back to Mecca. And let's start over. So Hakim has to go on this journey. Ikrama tells the story from his side, what's happening along the way of the journey. Hakim tells the story from her side. Ikrama gets to Yemen, and he realizes we're still too close to, it wasn't called Saudi Arabia back then, of course, but we're still too close to Mecca. I need to get out of here. So the irony of it all is he's going to board a boat to where? Abyssinia, Habasha, where they persecuted the Muslims and caused them to flee 2 decades ago. Amr tried to run away there, and now Ikrama wants to flee to Abyssinia and beg the Najashi for refuge. The successor to the Najashi, of course, the successor to Ashama for refuge. So Ikrama says, I get on a boat in Yemen to cross the sea to Abyssinia, to modern-day Ethiopia. And he says that while I was on the boat, right, on this boat with all these people, they're strangers, this huge storm comes and the boat starts to turn right and left and we all thought we were going to die. And he said, then the people that were with me in the boat, the captain calls out and he says, Ya qawm, akhlisu li rabbikum ud-du'a fa'innahu la yunji ha-huna illa hu. Says, O my people, sincerely pray to your Lord because no one will save anyone here except for him. And he's like, God, I'm surrounded by Muslims here too. Right? They're everywhere. These believers are everywhere. And so he said, I'm looking around and these people start praying to Allah. They start supplicating to Allah. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ibn Kathir rahimahullah actually uses this in the tafsir of the ayat, that if they are riding in the boat and the ship starts to shake, da'u Allah mukhlisina lahu deen. That's, you know, a certain thing overcomes you where you connect to your one God. Right? Everyone calls out to Allah when the turbulence strikes. Right? You see the most sincere dua on the plane when the plane starts shaking. Everyone makes dua to Allah at that moment. Everyone calls on to God. So Ikrama says, everyone around me is praying to Allah. And he said, and I realized at that moment, if Allah is the only one who saves us on the sea, then surely he's the only one who saves us on the land. So he actually traces faith entering his heart to that moment. He says, that's where there was a turn for me. Like Allah was sending me a message. Like if only Allah protects us when we're on the water, then it's only Allah who protects us when we're on the land. In any case, the boat shook so violently that Ikrama said it came back to Yemen. So he never actually made it to Abyssinia, to Habasha. And his heart has changed a bit. Right, that experience, that a near-death experience changes you, right? His heart has changed a bit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards God. Hakim, on the other hand, is coming to Yemen as a Muslim. This story has plenty of twists and turns, by the way. Hakim had a Greek slave from the days of Jahiliyyah, from the days of ignorance. And she said that as we were making our way to Yemen, along the way of the journey, basically, the Greek slave tried to seduce her and tried to harass her, right? And so he actually made an attempt on her. And so now this whole journey has changed for her too. She's going out to save her husband, but now the man that she brought to accompany her, to lead the way of the journey, right, harassed her, tried to seduce her. So now this journey means something different. So now she's thinking survival. And she said that while I was fleeing away from him, I found my husband Ikrama in Yemen. I asked about him. I found my husband Ikrama in Yemen. The first thing I told him was that I came with this man, you know, who to find you. And he actually made an attempt on me. So Ikrama, this is before they have any conversation. Ikrama went and found the man and killed him. Right away. Right? Like, that part of the journey is done. Right? They haven't even talked about Islam yet. They haven't talked about the Prophet ﷺ. The whole conversation is about protecting his wife at this moment and her getting away from a man that tried to hurt her, right? Tried to harm her. And then after that's done, now the conversation is to happen. So Ikrama is happy to see his wife, Hakim. He tries to approach her as a husband approaches a wife. And she says, no, you can't touch me. He says, why not? She says, I'm a Muslim and you're a mushrik. He says, what? What are you talking about? She said, no, I'm a Muslim now. And you need to save yourself from destruction Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a man of forgiveness and generosity, and he's showing you mercy. He's telling you you're forgiven. So go back to him. And she basically says to him, look, don't just save yourself from destruction in this life. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did he condition people becoming Muslim to give them amnesty in Mecca, the general amnesty? No, you didn't have to become Muslim. But it was the amnesty, and a lot of people became Muslim through that amnesty, right? So she's saying, don't just save yourself from destruction here, but save yourself from destruction in the Akhirah as well. This man is a prophet of Allah. It's enough of fighting him, enough of this transgression. Come back with me to Mecca as a believer. So Ikramah basically resolves that between what happened on the ship and he's blown away by the forgiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is even willing to give him a chance, and now his wife Hakim is a Muslim too, and he's like, I can't live without you, I don't know what's happening here. So he says, finally I told her, let's go back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the journey continues. Ikramah is coming back towards Mecca with his wife Hakim. What a journey for the both of them. And Ikramah wants to come embrace Islam with the Prophet ﷺ after harassing him, tormenting him, fighting him for 2 decades. And the Prophet ﷺ, as he's sitting in Mecca, he says to the people that are sitting around him, he says, Ikramah ibn Abi Jahl is coming to you as a muhajir and as a Muslim. He's coming to you as a migrant, and he's coming to you as a Muslim. So clearly it was divinely communicated to him that Ikramah had a change of heart. So he's telling the companions, look, Ikramah's coming back, and he's coming to you as a migrant, and he's coming to you as a Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, do not insult his father. SubhanAllah, don't hurt his feelings. Don't talk bad about his father. Do not insult his father. The Pharaoh of the Ummah, don't insult him, because he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that insulting the dead neither reaches the dead or benefits the living. You're not going to get anything out of insulting Abu Jahl in his presence. He's free now, and we're not going to hurt him. We're not going to taunt him. Now, subhanAllah, this is Al-Awza'i actually says, because Umar radiallahu anhu is his cousin, right? Umar is from this family. And Al-Awza'i narrates that Umar radiallahu anhu kana la yalqa Ikramah ibn Abi Jahl illa shatama Abi Jahl. That every time Umar would see Ikramah, he'd talk about how bad Abu Jahl was. Shatama Abu Jahl. He hated Abu Jahl. I mean, everything Abu Jahl did to them. And then Ikramah came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained. This is later on, so the Prophet ﷺ said, la yasubbanna al-hariku yu'zi bihi al-hayy. Let not one of you curse the dead in a way that you cause grief to the living. It's not worth it. So here the Prophet ﷺ is telling the people in Mecca, look, this man's coming back to you. Don't talk bad about his father because you're going to hurt him. There's so much to unpack here. Is Abu Jahl evil? Yes. He's literally the Pharaoh of the Ummah. There are ayat of Quran about him. But the Prophet ﷺ understands that Ikramah loves his father. What would be the point of hurting him? What would be the point of reminding him of who his father was and what his father did? The Prophet ﷺ was trying to win hearts here. He's trying to build a community of hearts. And it's important here, which shows us, right, that, you know, sometimes we think of these things in a black and white way, and it's not all black and white. There is complexity here to human emotion that's to be taken into consideration, especially when you're trying to bring people together, right? So the Prophet ﷺ knows Ikramah is coming to him as a Muslim. He sees sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikramah and Hakim coming to him, and the Prophet ﷺ says, from far away, because Ikramah is approaching with a lot of hesitation. Now, if he's on the other side, he'd trick the Prophet ﷺ, right? He'd kill him right at the spot. So he's approaching with some hesitation. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Marhaban birraqib al-muhajir. Welcome to the migrant who rides towards me. Marhaban birraqib al-muhajir. So he greets him with a lot of love. And some of the scholars say calling him a muhajir is also in a way of saying to him, about time. Because like everybody else around you has migrated to Medina now and done what they were supposed to do before the Fatih, before the opening of Mecca. But here you are coming as a muhajir to your land in Mecca. You're coming back to Mecca as a migrant, seeking safety. مرحباً بالراكب المهاجر. So Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he puts his head down and he stretches out his hand to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, what is it that I should say? What do I say? Like, where do I even start? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has him repeat the shahada, and Ikrama is highly emotional. So he says to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah to forgive me for all those times I fought against you, for all those times I cursed you, for all those times I obstructed the way to you. Ya Rasulullah, istaghfir li. Seek Allah's forgiveness for me. Now by the way, again, like the Prophet ﷺ doesn't have to do all this stuff. He could say, look, I already let you go. At least, you know, slap on the wrist. Like, you've been at this until the very last moment. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raises his hands and he said, Allahumma ighfir lahu adawatin adaniha wa kull masiran sara fihi ila mawdi'in yuridu biha bihi itfa'a nurika waghfir lahu ma nala min 'irdi fi wajhi aw ana gha'ibun anhu. O Allah, O my Lord, forgive him for all the hostility he directed against me, for all the battles he fought against me, seeking to put out your light. Forgive him for everything bad he ever said about me in front of me, and everything bad he ever said about me when I wasn't even there. Anything he said about me in my presence, anything he said about me in my absence. Ikrama radiallahu anhu's face beamed, right, with joy. Like, you know, he got that dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that supplication. And he said, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, لا أدع نفقة أنفقتها عليك إلا أنفقت مثلها في سبيل الله. I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I will not rest until I spend in the way of Allah everything that I spent against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. And fighting for the cause of Allah just as I fought against the cause of Allah. Like, I'm going to make this up, Ya Rasulullah. I'm going to redeem myself, O Messenger of Allah. And he's essentially swearing to the Prophet ﷺ that I want to do everything that I did against you more for you. So the Prophet ﷺ won his heart. And Islam won his heart. At this point, not only did he become Muslim, as Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah narrates, his Islam became excellent. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, Ikrama would go on to distinguish himself as a man who endures the greatest trials for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. And his oath, and this is really beautiful, Ibn Abi Mulaika, he narrates that the oath that Ikrama would take, you know, he wouldn't just say wallahi. He would say, La walladhi najani yawma badr, by the one who saved me on the day of Badr. There's something deeply profound about this. The day of Badr was the time that he turned against the Prophet ﷺ truly, like his heart was filled with hatred against the Prophet ﷺ because his father died on the day of Badr, on that day of the Battle of Badr. And he realizes that if I would have died on the day of Badr, if Allah would have decreed that I would be dead on the day of Badr, then I'd be just like my father in the punishment. I'd be just another mini Fir'aun, lost in the dustbin of history. But Allah saved me on that day, and Allah brought me to this position. And what an amazing favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would say, La walladhi najani yawma badr. I swear by the one who saved me on the day of Badr. You want more about how excellent his Islam became? Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, it was said that Ikrama never committed a sin from the day he became Muslim. وَكَانَ مُجَاهِدًا صَوَّامًا قَوَّامًا. He was, you know, brave in battle. He would fast long into the days. He would stand long into the nights. And you would see him in the masjid, holding the Qur'an to his face at times. And he was crying, and he was saying, كِتَابُ رَبِّي كَلَامُ رَبِّي كِتَابُ رَبِّي كَلَامُ رَبِّي. The book of my Lord, the words of my Lord. Like, he completely transformed. And subhanAllah, you have to think about how the rage that he had against the Prophet ﷺ for his father, who was the Pharaoh of the Ummah, was blinding him from the beauty of faith. And when he allowed Islam to enter into his heart, Look how much he changed, which shows you that what the Prophet ﷺ wanted for his father now was his reality. And it was like Umar radiallahu anhu, whose heart completely changed after becoming after being one of the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went around Mecca after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he disposed of the idols alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu commissioned him on Umam, and when there was the battle of the Murtaddin, he was one of those who went out as a commander under Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. One of the things that Ikrimah regretted so much is that unlike Khalid and Amr, his two friends, he never got to actually be alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Fi sabilillah. He never got that moment. Khalid had his moment in Mu'ta, Amr had his moment in Dhat al-Salasil and beyond, but he never got that, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and he never got to be alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those difficult moments. But now he is commissioned under Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as al-Shafi'i rahimahullah says, Ikrimah radiallahu anhu was one of the bravest warriors, strong, brave. And he was someone who would bring about, you know, a sense of energy and zeal to his companions in the battlefield. And then it comes down to the day of Yarmouk, the Battle of Yarmouk. The Battle of Yarmouk, which of course we've talked about in great detail over the last few weeks under Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, is where the companions meet in this consequential battle against the Roman Empire. And this was really the game changer, as we've said, between the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, and this small group of Muslims. And I want you to imagine this day of Yarmouk now, and bringing it all back together from the day of Uhud. On that day of Yarmouk, you have Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu commanding the army. You have Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu leading. You have Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu leading one flank. You have Al-Harith ibn Hisham, the brother of Abu Jahl and the father-in-law of Ikrimah, plunging into the battlefield and leading with great bravery. So all of these people that once fought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who orchestrated Uhud against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are now in Yarmouk, and they're all on one side, and they're all righteous and pious men at this point who have completely changed their hearts. And you have this man, Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Abu Jahl. And Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu is leading the army. He sees Ikrimah going deep, and he's breaking swords, and he's taking hit after hit after hit after hit. And Khalid radiallahu anhu has this really emotional conversation with him. He tells him, Ya Ikrimah, don't plunge too deeply because your loss would be a severe hit for the Muslims. We need you. You're going too hard. Like, I need you to be a bit more strategic about this. You're going so deep. And we're outnumbered by the Romans here. Like, we got to be strategic about this. And the last conversation Khalid has with Ikrimah, the two men that were commanding the two flanks on the day of Uhud, Ikrimah says to Khalid, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي يَا خَالِدْ. Leave me, O Khalid. فَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكَ مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَابِقًا. You have a past where you got to be alongside the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. You got to be there with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَكُنْتُ أَنَا وَأَبِي مِنْ أَشَدِّ النَّاسِ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And me and my father were of the severest enemies of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning you had your moment with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. I didn't have my moment. I was his enemy in every single battle we fought. And I never had my moment. You had your moment, O Khalid. And he says, فَدَعْنِي أُكَفِّرُ عَمَّا سَلَفَ مِنِّي. So let me expiate for all the evil that I did. Let me expiate for all the evil that I did. At this point, Ikrimah had donated. He was a rich man. He inherited the wealth of Abu Jahl. Donated that all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now here he is in battle and telling Khalid, Khalid, you don't know what it's like to be me. You don't know the guilt that I carry, having fought the Prophet ﷺ in every single battle. And he said, the last thing he said to Khalid, he said, لَقَدْ قَاتَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا فَأَفِرُّ أَنَا مِنَ الرُّومِ الْيَوْمِ. He said, I fought the Prophet ﷺ in so many battles. You want me to flee from the Romans today? You want me to flee from the Romans today? I said, no way. And he called out. And he said, who's going to go with me? And Al-Harith ibn Hisham said, Ana ma'ak, I'm with you. And Dirar ibn al-Azwar said, I'm with you. And they went forth. And they had a major part to do with the victory on that day of Yarmouk. And it was narrated that Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu suffered over 75 wounds on the day of Yarmouk. His body was wounded in every direction on the day of Yarmouk. And then you have the beautiful ending of this man that comes up in many of the Ramadan fundraisers, comes up in many of the Ramadan khutbas. Because if you read in the books of Tazkiyah, the books of spirituality, there is a chapter called Al-Ithar, selflessness. And under pretty much every explanation of the hadith, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, no one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself, this story will show up almost in every single explanation of this hadith. And it's basically after the Battle of Yarmouk, imagine the scene. Ikramah radiallahu anhu is laying and he's wounded over 70 times. Next to him, or amongst the wounded that day, Al-Harith ibn Hisham, the brother of Abu Jahl, his uncle. And then just a few feet away from Al-Harith ibn Hisham, Ayyash ibn Abi Rabi'ah, who was the brother of Abu Jahl through his mother, right? He shared the same mother with Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl tortured him and brought him back to Mecca, forced him out of Islam, and Allah revealed, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. All three of them are now laying amongst the wounded. And the water carrier, he said, I looked out to the wounded. And the first person I went to was Ikramah. I mean, this is one of the Sayyids of Quraysh, one of the leaders, Khalid's best friend. He said, I went out to Ikramah. And I tried to give him water. And Ikramah said, go to my brother Al-Harith ibn Hisham, my uncle Al-Harith ibn Hisham, and check on him first. So he said, I carried the water and I went to Al-Harith ibn Hisham. And Al-Harith ibn Hisham said, go to Ayyash and check on him first. So he said, I carried the water to Ayyash ibn Abi Rabi'ah. And then Ayyash said, go to my brother so-and-so. And so I went to him next. And he said, so I went around 10 men from the wounded. And each of them refused the water and said, go to my brother, go to my brother, go to my brother, go to my brother. He said, and so I went back to Ikramah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and I found that he had died. Then I went to Al-Harith and he was dead. Then I went to Ayyash and he was dead. And then I went to the rest of the seven men and all of them had died as shuhada that day. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So subhanAllah, the ending of Ikramah is the opposite of his father. And it shows you the power of redemption of a man. And that this man dies as a shaheed. And while his father was too blinded by his greed and opposed the Prophet ﷺ, Ikramah becomes the story of Ithar, the story of selflessness that shows up in the books of Ahadith. But it doesn't stop with him. His wife, Hakim, radiallahu ta'ala anha, after Ikramah dies, after he's martyred, she marries Khalid ibn Sa'id radiallahu anhu. If you go back in the first playlist and you go all the way down, the first Khalid we covered was actually not Khalid ibn Walid. It was this Khalid who was one of the first Muslims. So Khalid ibn Sa'id marries her on the night of the battle of Marj al-Safar, which is known as the battle at the gates of Damascus. Inshallah, Brother Hassan is here from Syrian form, so we hear about Syria and the famous stories of Syria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Asham, in Syria and in Palestine and all over. Allahumma ameen. There's a famous bridge in Syria known as Qantarat Hakim, the bridge of Hakim. And there's a story from Hakim, the widow of Ikramah ibn Abi Jahl, who was also, again, an evil woman at one time, beating the drums of persecution against the Prophet ﷺ. And now she's married to Khalid ibn Sa'id. And she married Khalid ibn Sa'id the night before Marj al-Safar. And he was martyred in that battle. So she was married to him for one night. And she picked up a tent pole and she was able to take out seven Roman soldiers by herself. And she survived the battle. So they named the bridge Qantarat Hakim, the bridge of Hakim. And then after Khalid bin Sa'id passes away, the person who marries her is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu marries Hakim bint al-Harith, and they have a daughter by the name of Fatima bint Umar. So Fatima, the daughter of Umar, Fatima also was the name of the mother of Hakim, Fatima bint al-Walid al-Mughira. They had this one daughter, Fatima, and she passes away as well, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hakim, as a widow of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They had one son between Ikrama and Hakim, whose name was also Umar, Umar ibn Ikrama. He became Muslim on the same day as his father, and he died as a shaheed on the day of Yarmouk as well. He's counted amongst the shuhada of Yarmouk, and so therefore Ikrama had no lineage that outlived him. But subhanAllah, in this story, again, is an incredible story of redemption. It shows you the way that a person's heart can change. It shows you that the way that a man who is the son of the most evil that this ummah has seen could become one of its most righteous, could become one of its most distinguished worshipers. It shows you not to lose hope in people. It shows you not to lose hope in yourself. You know, when you read a hadith about those that killed 99 people and those that killed, you know, people who were forgiven for grievous crimes, you ask yourself, did I commit these evil sins? Did I do these evil deeds? So it shows you the power of your own repentance, and it shows you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can write the story of a person so differently, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw in the heart of Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu that made him so worthy of having this ending of a shaheed in the battle of Yarmouk instead of a death on the battle of Badr, fighting the Prophet ﷺ alongside his father, who was the Fir'aun of this ummah. We ask Allah to be pleased with Ikrama, to be pleased with Hakim, to be pleased with the righteous that have passed before us, and to make us amongst the righteous as well. We ask Allah to accept our repentance, to forgive us for our shortcomings, to show us mercy and to put mercy in our hearts, and to accept our deeds despite their shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khayra. Inshallah.